Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word as I preach in your hearing by the grace of God the importance of bringing others to Jesus. Part 8, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 721, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 1086. Day 1119, rather, since January the 1st, 2016. And that is day 754 since January the 20th, 2017. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities. Read the word of God. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that's how the world is today. Just as it was in those days. And sad to say, when it should be better, it is worse. People are lost for real today, being bamboozled by false prophets and false teachers, only concerned about themselves, only concerned about their car or their house. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. And of course, your Holy Spirit lifts up your Holy Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for him today. Thank you, Lord, for him reminding us of our responsibilities, of what we ought to do. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And now here he reminds us to do something, sadly, Lord, we have neglected. I don't think many of us chose to just outright disobey this verse. But Lord, we have certainly done so via neglect. Have mercy and grace upon our souls, and forgive us of not being the soul winners we should be, the witnesses we should be, and please forgive us for not even praying the Lord of the harvest for more laborers to go into the fields. Have mercy. And Lord, crucify our flesh and the old man within us and the worldliness that's within us that causes us to neglect such a clear command. And fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to at least pray the Lord of the harvest for more laborers to go into the harvest field. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Matthew Poole said regarding this passage, "The fields were white to the harvest as they are today," by the way, as our Savior expresses it. "But there were few who would faithfully deliver the mind of God." And that's what's wrong with the world today. There are too few people, preachers, ministers, servants of the Lord, who impress upon this wicked world the mind of God. What we're doing today is trying to water down the gospel so low that people don't even know right from wrong. That's why it is important for preachers to preach the whole counsel of God and Brother Andy to preach expository messages, particularly our pastors, because we have so many people in the world and in the church who don't even know right from wrong. Dr. Poole goes on to say there was an abundance of idle Pharisees and scribes and priests that spent their time in teaching people their rites, R-I-T-E-S, and ceremonies and traditions. But the laborers were few. The laborers, the true laborers, were few. This is Sister Annie. She's a little bit overweight. She's a widow. But she's faithful in the work of the Lord. When things need to be done, it's always Sister Annie and her crew. They might complain every now and then to the pastor about this or that. But without the Sister Annies in the church would not go on. Churches would die. These are the laborers. These are they who will do whatever it takes for the work of the Lord to go on. They will hem clothes, the baptismal gowns, choir gowns. They will clean the bathrooms. They will stamp the tracts, and they will go out and pass out the tracts. These are the Sister Annies of the church, the faithful few, the laborers. Thank God for them. They may not always be smiling, but they're faithful. They might be going through hell, but you can depend on them to show up and show out and labor and do the work that God wants done. Even when the pastor does not show up, Sister Annie and her crew will be there. And they may have somebody to ask them, "Where's the pastor at? I don't know, but we're here and we're going on for the Lord. Amen, somebody. We need more laborers in the church. Laborers must, Dr. Poole said, be God's gift to the people. And they must be thrust out. See, and they must be thrust out by God. That's why God wants us to pray to Him, the Lord of the harvest. Not go and ask the pastor, "Pastor, can you send some more laborers into the field?" He's not even in the field. How can he get somebody else to go into the field? Deacon, can you get some more laborers in the church to go out into the field with us? He's not in the field either. Board of Trustees, Director, can you get somebody else, some other folks to get into the field except for just Sister Annie and them? He's not in the field and he needs the board put on him. So God has to thrust us out into the field. God is the one who moves and directs. And when the thrust out ones show up, you know they came from God. And they're moved by God. Because they don't quit. They don't falter. They don't faint. You can depend on them. You can count on them. You don't have to beg them. You don't have to plead with them. You don't have to give them a reward. They understand that they will get their reward from God. Amen, somebody. And they're satisfied with that. They're not doing it for the money. They're not doing it for the show. In fact, Sister Ann and her crew, they do more than all of the paid staff on the church roster. They do more for the Lord and they do it for free. And these jokers, excuse me, these people get paid to serve the Lord. And you can hardly find them at the church house. And they don't even come to the prayer meeting. But Sister Annie not only come, but she will bring some food and cookies and cakes and have some punch that she paid for with her own money. And she's on a fixed income. Thank God for the laborers in the church. No arguments will be sufficient, Dr. Poole said, to persuade men to the weighty work of the ministry with an intention to fulfill it, but the power of God inclining their hearts to it. Did you get that? The inclining. God inclining their hearts to it. God moving upon their hearts. I cannot explain that to you. And I'm not going to try. You got to be saved to understand talk like that. The saints of God are saying, "Thank God spoke to my heart to do this ministry. God moved upon my heart." They can't explain it. I can't explain it. But I do know they need to be inclined by God. And so therefore, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Poole said, "You have need therefore to pray unto God that he would send, nay, that he would thrust out." And that's the key phrase I wanted to get out of this little quote. Laborers into his harvest. Thrust out laborers into his harvest field. Number one, Dr. Poole continues, the inclination and desire of multitudes to hear divine truth is God's harvest. Have you ever noticed? Have you ever been amazed that if a preacher really preaches the gospel and preaches the word in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're not talking about entertainment. We're not talking about a preacher who puts on a show. A preacher who just stands flat-footed and just preaches the word of God, line upon line, here a little, there a little, how people are attracted to that like a magnet. And many, many pastors have lost sight of that today. Many, many pastors don't believe in the power of preaching the Word of God anymore. That's why they're trying newfangled things. They have forgotten, or they have never known, that what pulls people to God and pulls people in is the Word of God. It's not really the singing. That's all well and dandy. It's not the food that you might serve for most people. But it is the food you serve from the pulpit, from the Word of God. That's the harvest. They're hungry for the gospel, but there's nobody there to tell them. That's the problem. This is not about church growth or some kind of church growth gimmick. This is about going into the field by any means necessary and sharing the gospel, being thrust out by God. Number two, ministers' work is a labor. Anybody who's truly called to preach by God, thrust out into the world by God, oftentimes against their will, they know that this is the hardest job in the world. It's the most glorious, I didn't say most glorifying, for you, for the preacher. It's not about the preacher being receiving glory. God gives all the glory. It is the hardest job known to mankind. Because just like they say a woman's work is never done, a true preacher's work is never done. There's always somebody else to preach to or to minister to or to try to help. So it is a labor. If rightly discharged, it must be with labor, hard work. A politician said the other day, "So you might be more talented than I am and more gifted and more beautiful, but you will not outwork me." But Paul said that a long time ago. He outworked all the apostles. He labored in the ministry. How are we doing? Are you laboring in the ministry? Are you laboring in the white harvest field? Number three, God is the Lord of the harvest. Amen, somebody. God is the Lord of the harvest. Ministers ought to look upon him as so. All of the servants of the Lord ought to understand that God is the Lord of the harvest, and we need to pray to him. We need to look to him. We need to depend upon him to reap the widened harvest field. For people are lost and they're scattered, looking for answers. And we have the answer. And so many of us are so caught up with our lives and what we want done that we don't do anything to reach the harvest. And then number four, Dr. Poole said, none ought to thrust themselves into the work of the ministry or the harvest field until God thrusts them out. And that's why I chose this quote, because of the emphasis of God doing it. And it reminds me of my life's verse over in the Old Testament. It is not by might nor by power, that's human strength, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. God must do it. Yes, God wants us to do certain things, but he must do it all. And therefore, he must receive all of the glory, the praise, and the honor. Please understand, he will not share his glory with you or with me. And then fifth, there always were but a few laborers in God's harvest. And that is the case today. Looking at church history, Chrysostom thought that but a few ministers would be saved. For some reason, he thought that. And maybe he was right. Few laborers. God always, however, has had his remnant. God always has his 7,000, but that's few compared to the millions and the billions on earth today. Are you in that faithful few? And so, ladies and gentlemen, I have continued to preach most days since I have preached this series. I'm preaching another series. I preached two different series since I have preached last on this series. However, this is the last message of this series in the Just Jesus campaign, the Just Jesus evangelistic campaign. And at the end of chapter 9, and I, and this is so powerful and so important, Jesus laments the fact that the laborers are few. Despite the harvest being plentiful, the laborers are few. Lost souls are there for the picking, but the laborers in the field are few. The only ones in the field are Sister Annie and her crew of about four older ladies. Thank God for them. Then he gives a command to his disciples and those gathered to hear him preach, as well as to us, by the way. He says these words, and we all have heard them before if we have been saved for a little while. Jesus says at the end, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." I've said this many times throughout this series, and I'm going to say it again. It is a sad state of affairs. It is a tragedy that so many people in the church will not go witnessing for Christ in the whited harvest fields of the world themselves. That's a tragedy. But an even greater tragedy is when we won't even pray to the Lord of the harvest for others to be sent into the harvest fields of the world to witness for Jesus Christ. Now that's a sad, sad state of affairs. It is tragic. Praying for harvesters is the least we can do. That's the very least we can do. Praying for people to go into the whited harvest field is the least we can do. That's got to be the very least. And as I said earlier, I do not believe many of us, including myself, have not outright chosen to disobey this command. We have neglected this command. We have not taken this command seriously. And I'm included in the number. I cannot tell you that I have prayed to the Lord of the harvest, as I should have, for more laborers to go into the field over the years. I have neglected this commandment, overlooked it, didn't pay any attention to it. And I'm convinced many others have done the same. And we might as well just tell the truth and shame the devil. Whatever your reasons for not working in the harvest field yourself, as the hymn writer says, you can still be in the battle in the sacred, secret place of prayer. You can at least do that. Now, that's a very important thing. But not only praying. Now, see, I have prayed for Christians in the thousands. Intercessory prayer, I've been doing that for years. I mean, when I say thousands, I am literally saying, I mean thousands. Not only that, I have prayed for lost souls to be saved. I'm not saying I have not prayed for lost souls to be saved, but I have rarely prayed to the Lord of the harvest to thrust laborers out into the whited harvest fields, and I regret that. That is a tragedy. There is a blessing even in praying for the work of harvesting souls to be fulfilled. And through our prayers, God may very well guide us into a place in harvest ministry that He has set aside for us. Regarding this passage, Dr. Warren Wiersbe, who is now home with the Lord, having served well, said these words, Jesus requested that His disciples pray that the Lord would provide the needed workers. And it was not long before the disciples themselves were involved in the ministry of preaching, teaching, and healing, and changing lives. In the same way, when we pray as Jesus commanded, we will see what He saw, feel what He felt, and do what He did. God will multiply our lives as we share in the great harvest that is already ripe. End of quote. He will give us what my young daughters, a song that they turned me on to years ago, where a singer got behind the mic and said, give me your eyes so that I can see. I loved that song. Maybe we should sing it again. It's an old song now. It's amazing how we don't want to sing old songs anymore, even in modern times. But we need new eyes to see. We need our eyes open up to see the whited harvest so that we can go into the harvest and tell them about Jesus. So while we pray for workers to enter the harvest, ladies and gentlemen, we must be open to two things. Number one, we must be open to being sent ourselves. Amen, somebody. And say, and listen to me, I believe that that will happen if we will start praying for laborers to go into the whited field. Because one of the things I love about God is that He's very logical, and you know what He's going to say to you. Well, I'm glad you are praying that. Why don't you go? Amen, somebody. That's the first thing I believe. That's the first thing I know. That's going to be the first thing you tell me. Why don't you go? Why aren't you in the fields, the whited harvest fields? And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we start praying for this this prayer request to the Lord of the harvest, we will be compelled to go ourselves, and we ought to be prepared for that. Whether we want to accept it or not, all believers are called to work, to the work rather of harvest ministry. There is a harvest where you are right now. If you can honestly say that everyone within your sphere of influence is saved and on their way to heaven, then you might be in the wrong place. You might be missing your calling. It might be time for you to reach out to a new field of ministry. Jesus did not qualify his command for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He wants all of us to do it. And then while praying for laborers to be sent into the harvest, we must be open, number two, to the Lord giving us a heart for the harvest. Back many years ago, some 40 years ago, one of the great prayer requests during that time was, Lord, give me a burden for souls. Give me a burden for souls. Give me a burden for souls. Many of us do not reach out to others with the gospel because we do not have a heart that is concerned for the lost. And to be effective laborers, we must have a heart that is genuinely concerned. One preacher friend of mine ran back one time and preached a sermon titled Naturally Concerned. He said, I'm naturally concerned. We must have a heart that is naturally concerned as saints for others to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. If you're born again, you ought to be naturally concerned, genuinely concerned for the salvation of others. If you know Jesus and the blessing and the benefits of knowing Jesus as your Savior, you ought to be naturally concerned for others. But so many of us allow our hearts to grow cold, don't we? For the love of many, Jesus said, will wax cold. If your heart is cold and closed to sinners, prayer to the Lord of the harvest will help you get on fire again for seeing souls saved, lives changed, and people brought into the beloved family of God. My dear friends, William H. Horton wrote, lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray. Melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today. How about it, dear friend? The importance of bringing people to Christ. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the message. And whether people do it or not, they have heard your word. And we all will be held accountable before you. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins of not praying to you for laborers to go into the field, including myself. And Holy Father God, help us to repent of that. Help us to turn from that neglect and that evil. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. Give us a mind to pray for more laborers to reap the harvest. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. The good news is, Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart and to save your soul. You do not have to be in church. You do not have to join a church to be saved. You do not have to get baptized to be saved. All of those things are good, but doing those things alone will not save your soul. Simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. So, dear friend, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, pray and ask him to save your soul. And I will help you with that prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil ways and help me to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is my prayer. I don't know why.